There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Kids. They grow up so fast. One day they're taking their first steps, and the next, they don't fit into the tiny sneakers they took them in. You blink your eyes and their princess dress is two sizes too small, and their dinosaur backpack isn't cool anymore. But don't cry because they're growing up. Smile, because you can profit off of it. For real, there are a bunch of parents on Depop looking for the stuff your kid just grew out of. Download Depop to start selling.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Welcome to Rico Bronya, episode number 605. We got a lot to talk about. The New York Mets have made a signing. There are a lot of new rumors, new information, and that's why today we bring back a format that we did a little bit during the offseason last year. We call it the Rico 10. 10 different topics around the New York Mets that we will get into over the course of this podcast. The first topic is clearly the biggest one. It is the breaking news, or the new news from Wednesday afternoon, and that's the fact that the New York Mets signed Luke Weaver to a two-year, $22 million deal. There's a lot of aspects to this signing. Let me just start off with what your buddies are going to say to you and the mocking that you will take that the Mets signed a former New York Yankee. That does not matter. I said this before, I think it was a few weeks ago, probably on the air on Evan and Tiki, not as much here on the Rico. Someone called in and said, does it annoy you that the Mets keep signing former Yankees? And I said, you have to look at everything on a case-by-case basis. You can't just say the Mets are signing a bunch of former Yankees. They have a single white female approach to Brian Cashman. It's not as simple as that. I think you have to look at each individual player. In the case of Luke Weaver, when I glanced at the remaining MLB free agents concerning relievers, with Robert Suarez going to Atlanta, with us signing Devin Williams, with Emilio Pagan staying in Cincinnati, with Kenley Jansen going to Detroit, with all the moves that we've seen over the last few weeks, to me, there were two specific relievers that have the high, I guess, ceiling. And those two relievers would be Pete Fairbanks and Luke Weaver, two guys that have been really good in the recent past. Now, I brought this up on the Rico before about Fairbanks. I would have signed him, and I made that clear. Now, I don't know what his asks are. We'll see what Pete Fairbanks ends up getting. But my concern about Fairbanks is that as good as he is, he's always hurt. But the upside is enormous. I think Luke Weaver did enough in the year and a half in which he dominated for the New York Yankees to say the upside's enormous. Because we all saw it firsthand, at least I did, watching every Yankee game. In 2024, he was their best reliever. In 2024, he ended up being the guy you trusted the most at the end of games, especially when Clay Holmes lost his closer's job, another former Yankee who's now a Met, who, again, you also have to look at under different light and different circumstances. Luke Weaver was great in 2024. There is no denying that. He began 2025 the same way. In fact, being on Sports Talk Radio, most Yankee fans wanted him to be the closer over Devin Williams. They just trusted him more. And ultimately, he became the closer over Devin Williams. What happened to Luke Weaver last year, and this is the warning, right? This is the red flag. This is why Weaver had to settle for 2 years, 22, in which he could have had more if he finished 2025 strong. He was awful from the middle of May on. And luckily, there's a line of demarcation that we can look at, which is him going down with that hamstring injury. Like, prior to him getting injured, Luke Weaver was picking up right where he left off. Just to give you the specific numbers, Luke Weaver, throughout April and May, pitched to a sub-1 ERA. In fact, on May 26th, I mean, we're at May 26th. Hold on, let me make sure this is the right year. I want to make sure it's 2025. It is 2025. Luke Weaver had a 0.73 ERA in the middle of to late May. His last performance prior to his injury was a game against the Dodgers. That was that famous game where they lost 18-2. I don't know if that's that famous. I certainly remember it. It was also the night the Knicks got eliminated. So sometimes multiple sporting events stick together. But Luke Weaver pitched an inning that day, gave up a run, and he got injured. That was on May 31st. So when Luke Weaver went on the IL on May 31st, he was pitching to a 1.05 ERA. Not bad. He was having a great year and had taken over as the Yankee closer because Devin Williams had lost the job. Luke goes down with the hamstring issue. He comes back. He comes back on June 20th, which I remember being surprised by how quick Luke Weaver came back. And he wasn't the same guy. He struggled. And so his ERA started to go up. At the first game he pitched in, June 20th against the Orioles, he came in the eighth inning and promptly gave up two runs and took the loss. He then put together three consecutive good outings throughout late June. And then starting on July 1st against Toronto, and it seemed like every Yankee pitcher struggled against Toronto, he gave up a home run to the Blue Jays on July 1st. He gave up a home run to the Blue Jays on July 3rd. And then the game that we all remember was July 4th. That was the Jeff McNeil game in which he gave up the game-winning home run to Jeff McNeil. From that moment on, he wasn't great. He actually had some spurts where he pitched well between July 30th and August 20th. So about a 3-week period, He threw nothing but scoreless innings. It added up to about 9-10 in that range, scoreless innings. And then he started to struggle in late August and then became unpitchable. I mean, we certainly remember that. Like, he was, it made no sense that Aaron Boone was even going to him in the postseason. So I was talking to a Yankee fan friend about this, and he's not wrong. Luke Weaver helped the Yankees not win the American League East. So that happened. He became a liability in the second half of the season. The good news is there's a date you could attach it to that at least makes you believe, okay, this is fixable. And I think there were two things that at least jump out at me. Number one, he had a hamstring issue. He rushed his way back. Did rushing his way back screw up his mechanics? Did rushing his way back affect him? I don't know. I am not a pitching coach. They're not paying me the big dollars. I am like you, trying to figure out what happened. So could be the hamstring issue. Was he tipping pitches? I mean, that's always a convenient thing that's brought up when someone struggles and you really have a tough time explaining it. So those two things could have been factors, but there's enough good from Luke Weaver through 2024 and through the first half of 2025 to believe it's in him and to believe that the new Met pitching lab and David Stern see something in Luke Weaver to think they can bring him back to that 24-25 form. So what do I think of the signing? It's fine. I mean, relievers are up and down. Like, they're not reliable to the point where I went through all the injuries Pete Fairbanks had and ended the discussion by saying I'd sign him because there aren't a lot of reliable arms. You know, Sean Armstrong from Texas is coming off a good year last year. I'm intrigued by him. He's not reliable. Nobody is. The thing about Weaver that's unique is that he was such a starting pitcher for so long, he doesn't have a long track record as a reliever. Like, we really only have this two-year sample size with the Yankees. We give Brian Cashman and the Yankees credit. They turned him into a good one. They turned him into somebody that was the closer of a team that went to the World Series, right? He was good enough to be the closer of the team for a stretch last year before he ran into his struggles. So I think there's enough good. I think $11 million, is that too hefty? I mean, I don't know anymore. I really don't. And I also try to not get too stuck in the value. It's a short-term deal. It's a two-year deal. If the second half of Luke Weaver last year is truly what he is, well, it's only 2 years. I mean, I guess that's the positive. The other thing I do want to address is I have no interest in Luke Weaver as a starting pitcher. There was talk at the beginning of this offseason of maybe Luke Weaver entering free agency and being a guy that someone wants to convert into a starting pitcher. We've heard that about a few guys. I'm trying to think. There was another high-end reliever that was a free agent where there was talk of, would they make him a starting pitcher? And I'm trying to remember who the name was. I forgot already. And it didn't happen. Like, it's talked about. It's clearly a fad that's going on right now. But it shouldn't happen with everybody. And honestly, where the Mets are right now with the way their roster is built, they don't need that. You know, the Mets need starting pitching, which we'll address as we get to a variety of the topics here on the Rico Bronya and the Rico 10. But they actually have a lot of pitching depth. What they don't have is reliability. What they don't have is a top-line ace. Luke Weaver being converted into a starter makes, to me, little sense with this team. Like, he's just another average arm that you're questioning. That's what he is. So I think with the makeup of this roster, Weaver makes the most sense out of the bullpen. Are they going to sign another bullpen arm? I kind of doubt it. I think when you look at the money invested in really A.J. Minter, who's making $11 million, Devin Williams, who's making, I wrote it down, was it $16 million, $17 million, and now Luke Weaver making $11 million, I have a tough time believing they're going to throw more money at this bullpen. So the way I kind of view it now is maybe there's a lower-level arm, someone that doesn't make a lot of money that you get on a cheap deal. I'm not saying Ryan Stanek, but a one-year, $2.5 million deal, kind of similar to what Jordan Romano signed with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But right now, here's your bullpen. And I know it'll make some people nervous. Devin Williams is the closer to start, and much like last year, he's got Luke Weaver looking over his shoulder. You've got Rayleigh and Minter from the left. You've got Albert Alzolay, who, remember, they signed a year ago coming off Tommy John. I think he is very likely, if healthy, to be in the bullpen. And then the other guy who's likely to be here, but they have options on, is Waskar Brazoban. I think Brazoban has a leg up on making the bullpen, but in fairness, because he has options, and we talk about this off every spring training, that guy is just more likely to be sent down than a guy without options. So I don't think there's another big-ticket item coming to this bullpen. I don't think it rules out Mason Miller. I think if a bigger trade emerges with San Diego, I think that's very different. But in terms of the free agent market, I think they're mostly done.
Yeah, is my mic on?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, good. I can't hear myself. I think the one thing we saw, Brandon Waddell got the boot. And, you know, he should be coming back in that Syracuse shuffle train or whatever it is. But the one person that you, I think, were thinking of in this offseason that was going to think about being converted to starting pitching, Ryan Helsley.
That was it. Good call. That was it. I remember there being, like, another name that was weird. And what ended up happening with Helsley, because obviously he signed with the Orioles and he's not being converted into a starter, there wasn't a lot of interest in it. So I don't know who started the floating, whether it was his agent or whomever. But yes, Ryan Helsley was the other one. I don't think Luke Weaver is incapable of starting again. I want to make that clear. Like, I think he's got the tools to do it. I don't think it makes any sense for the Mets to have signed him in that role. That's my opinion. So overall, it's a good signing, but I think with any reliever signing, there's a lot of risks to it. And that's really with any reliever they sign, which is why I'm not head over heels on it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk trash. Ah, this is great. I think that it's a quality signing considering the options that are out there. The Yankee aspect, real quick, I've said this before. I think it only helps when you have someone who's pitched in New York. So that is not a negative attribute. I know some people look at it that way, and it becomes like this Yankee-Met fan rivalry thing. If we're just being real about it, we're putting that petty stuff aside. Luke Weaver and Devin Williams don't have to answer the New York adjustment question. They don't. A.J. Minter did, kind of still does. Adbert Alzolay does, right? Jorge Polanco does. Those guys don't. And I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans would certainly argue this. Those guys probably face more pressure with the Yankees. I think Devin Williams actually faces more pressure with the Mets than the Yankees because he's replacing such a popular figure and such a successful figure in Edwin Diaz. And speaking of Edwin Diaz, that gets us to topic number two on the Rico 10, and that is putting closure to the Edwin Diaz situation. And I am ready to put closure to this situation because I'm done thinking about it and I'm done talking about it. But Jorge Castillo did some great reporting on the Edwin Diaz situation and the way the negotiations went with the New York Mets and with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and what we later found out was the Atlanta Braves. And his reporting, I'll read a little bit of it if you missed it and give you my opinion. It really confirms to me that the blame mostly falls on the way the Mets negotiated with Edwin Diaz. This is according to Jorge Castillo. The Mets made an offer to Edwin on December 7th, 3 years, $66 million, with $21 million deferred over 10 years. Negotiations continued from there, and the Mets ultimately produced another offer, adding $9 million signing bonus to match the Dodgers with the $21 million deferred over 15 years. Diaz wanted an average annual of at least $20 million after deferrals that were taken into account and less deferred money spread over a shorter period. The Mets, according to sources, refused to meet those terms. The Braves, who apparently made him a five-year offer, I assume the money was obviously down, declined to meet the criteria. The Dodgers met the criteria. And Edwin later explained, once they answered what I wanted by saying yes, how do I then take that back to the Mets? So the Mets were negotiating hard. They bent a little bit, they didn't bend all the way, and they allowed the Dodgers the ability to say yes. And once the Dodgers said yes, Edwin Diaz, kind of rightfully so, like if you were negotiating and you go to a team or your boss and say, I'm looking for this, and they say yes, can you really shop that? So I think this is more evidence, and look, I think we should get closure on this. This will probably be the last time we really need to break this down. He's not a Met. He's not coming back. He's gone, and he's not coming back. But I think the Mets just weren't aggressive enough, and I don't think it was that they wanted him gone. I know some will think that, like, they tried to eloquently boot him. I think they took it for granted how much Diaz wanted to stay. And that's a dangerous game to play with someone as appealing as the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Now, my question to you is, though, because I don't think that they wanted him gone. I actually do think they wanted Edwin Diaz back. So I'm 100% agreement of, like, the Mets dropped the ball because they are almost telling their free agents or anybody in particular, do your best. Go find. Yeah. I dare you to find somebody. And it's almost like they don't realize that there is a team like the Dodgers out there who will call everyone's bluff.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Oh, yeah, I think that it worked so well when talking to Billy Wagner. I'm about to get into Billy Wagner in a second, so I'm sorry. My brain is already there. In talking to Pete Alonso, where they dared him last year, like, go find me a better offer. I think when you have the best closer in baseball on the market and two of the teams interested are really well-run organizations like the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves, it's just a very dangerous game to play. And so I think they just played a lot of Russian roulette with this, as opposed to, hey, we want to get this thing done. Let's not screw around. Okay, your issue is deferred money. No problem. And think about that. The Mets let the deferred money affect them, and the Dodgers were like, oh, we'll defer less, and Diaz goes to the Dodgers. It's just, it's the ultimate, this sucks. The thing I hold out on, Hoff, and this is, again, this is how you pivot as a baseball fan, I hate that Diaz is gone. I'm starting to talk myself into how this could all work out. Like, it's kind of simple. Maybe Edwin Diaz loses it faster than we think. Maybe Devin Williams is back to the guy he was a year ago, and we look at this and say, all good. I'm having a tougher time doing that with Alonso, by the way, but at least in the Diaz case, maybe that's what happens. But I just don't think they were aggressive enough in the way this whole thing went down.
Yeah, and I will say this, and I will stick with this. I know it was wrong last year, but Devin Williams I have no problem with whatsoever. And it's also possible that Devin Williams can have a great season, and so can Edwin Diaz, and we'll still be okay. It's still a possibility.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And look, in fairness to you, you were adamant that you trusted Devin Williams more than Edwin Diaz throughout the season. I think it was up until May you finally gave up on it, but that was actually a strong opinion you had for a while. So yeah. I would expect you to stand by that right now since you're a big Devin Williams guy.
I have no choice. I have no choice.
Witness the colossal boxing showdown nobody expected. Live on Netflix. International superstar Jake Paul, the sport's most watched fighter, takes on Britain's two-time unified heavyweight world champion and Olympic gold medalist, Anthony A.J. Joshua, in the most dangerous and defining matchup of their careers. This is Judgment Day. Watch Jake Paul versus Anthony Joshua, Friday, December 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, live on Netflix.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So good, so good, so good.
Score holiday gifts everyone wants for way less at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save on UGG, Nike, Rag & Bone, Vince, Frame, Kurt Geiger London, and more.
Because there's always something new.
I'm giving all the gifts this year with that extra 5% off when I use my Nordstrom credit card. Santa who?
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. It's easy. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
Let's go to Billy Wagner.
Yes, let's go to Billy Wagner, and I apologize. I forgot. I had an email, and I was searching the Rico B email account because I like to read it and give the person credit, but it was someone strongly disagreeing, and I can't find the email, which is my fault. I actually made my wife do a lot of work. I print out a lot of the emails now that I want to read on the Rico, and then I have it with me. We decided to do the Rico live from the WFAN studios, and so I texted my wife in the middle of the day and said, can you take a picture of these emails I printed and send it to me so that I can go to the ones I wanted to read? And unfortunately, it got lost somewhere. So I apologize to the person. I'll give you a shout out at a later date. But basically, they had an issue with the opinion that I have had that Edwin Diaz is the best closer in my lifetime for the New York Mets. For the New York Mets, not for all of baseball. We all pray to the altar of Mariano Rivera. And this person brought up Billy Wagner and said, how could you say Diaz is better than Wagner? And here's why I say that, and it's very, very important. Edwin Diaz, and this is a part of being a Met closer. It's why no one brings up Armando Benitez. If I showed you Armando Benitez's career numbers, he's right up there. He was a wonderful regular season closer for the New York Mets. But the reason we boo him or berate him on pods like the Rico is because of all the failed big moments. Because of game one of the World Series against the Yankees. Because of the JT Snow game against the Giants, even though they won anyway. Like, there are big moments in which he crushed us, and there aren't a lot of big moments that I would cite where I say, look, he saved us there. He was great there. So Armando Benitez is defined by his postseason failures. Here is Billy Wagner's resume as a New York Met in the postseason. I want to go through it because my memory told me he sucked in the playoffs, but I wanted to see if my memory was deceiving me on why I would never put Billy Wagner in some kind of prestigious territory as a New York Met reliever. With all due respect, he's a Hall of Famer. God bless him. I'm talking about his time with the Mets, not his time with the Astros, not his year with Philadelphia, not anywhere else. He made 6 appearances in the postseason. And instead of giving you the numbers, let's go through each appearance. Game 1 of the NLDS in 2006. He came in to a 6-4 game in the 9th inning, gave up a leadoff double, got 2 outs, gave up a double to Ramon Martinez, and then with the tying run on 2nd, struck out Nomar Garciaparra to win the game 6-5. Okay, he got the save. It was not easy, but he got it done. In his 2nd postseason appearance, game 2 of that series, no harm, no foul. Comes into a 4-1 game, pitches a 1-2-3 inning against Russell Martin, Marlon Anderson, Julio Lugo. All good. His next appearance was game 3 of that series. So, wow, he appeared in every game of that sweep of the LA Dodgers. He comes in with a 9-5 lead. Allows a 2-out single to Ramon Martinez, and then gets the final out. Okay, again, so far, not too bad for Billy Wagner. Then we got game 1 of the NLCS. Comes in with 2-0 lead, gets into trouble, gives up a 2-out walk to Scott Rowland, but okay, gets out of it. This is where he loses me, and this is where Billy Wagner will never be in my pantheon of elite-level closers. In game 2, after Guillermo Mota blows it, he comes into a 6-6 game in the 9th inning and immediately gives up a game-winning home run to Sho Taguchi. He didn't give up a home run to Albert Pujols. He didn't give up a home run to Scott Rowland. He didn't give up a home run to Sho to freaking Gucci. He then gives up a double to Albert Pujols. Gives up a double to Scott Spezio. Gives up a single to Juan Encarnacion before, mercifully, Willie Randolph takes his ass out. Game 2 of the NLCS is one of the things that blew the NLCS for the Mets in 06. Then we get to Game 6. No one remembers this. This drives me nuts, and it's one of the most underrated things from this National League Championship Series that cost the Mets. He comes into a 4-0 game in the 9th inning of Game 6 with the Mets down 3-2. He puts the first 2 guys on base, gets the next 2 guys out, gives up a 2-run double to Sho Taguchi to make it 4-2. And David Eckstein comes up as the tying run before he gets out of it by getting him to ground out. Now, fair to say, if you don't remember this, maybe you're too young, I don't understand the problem. I'm sure he made things exciting, but he got out of it. Why is Game 6 so bad? He was so crappy in Game 6. Willie Randolph was never going to use him in Game 7. He was not available. So if you ever ask yourself, why did Aaron Heilman pitch a 2nd inning? Why did Aaron Heilman come out for the 9th inning of a tie game in Game 7 of the NLCS? Why, you ask? Because Willie Randolph couldn't trust Billy Wagner. He couldn't trust him because he almost blew a 4-run lead in Game 6. So, no. I don't trust Billy Wagner, and I wouldn't even think of putting him ahead of Edwin Diaz. But let's be fair. How's Edwin Diaz's postseason record? Okay. In his first appearance, Game 2 of the Wild Card Series in 2022, he comes into a 3-2 game and pitches the 7th inning, then gets 2 outs in the 8th inning. At this point, the Mets broke open the game and led 7-2, and so Buck takes him out. So, okay. His first postseason appearance is to come in the 7th inning of a 1-run game, and no harm, no foul, gets 5 outs. By the way, I could stop right there. He's already done more than that stiff Billy Wagner. He's already done more. But okay, I'll keep going. In Game 3 of that series, we call that the all-sticky ear game, he comes into a 4-0 game with 2 on and nobody out. He gets a bunt out, a strikeout, and then unfortunately gives up a 2-run single to Juan Soto to make it 6-0. Not an ideal situation, not perfect, but as we all know, the game was already over. Let's get to what may be Edwin Diaz's finest moment. Game 3 of the Wild Card Series in 2024. The Mets are down 2-0 in the 7th inning, and rightfully so, Mendy says, I got to go to my best reliever after Jose Buteau gave up the 2 home runs, and Diaz gets through the 7th. Wasn't easy, was shaky, but he got through the 7th, and then he pitches a 1-2-3 8th inning. So Edwin gets 5 outs in game three, keeping the game close, allowing them to have the dramatic comeback from Pete Alonso. Game two of the NLDS, this is a failure. He comes into a 4-3 game in the seventh inning. Think about how he's being used, by the way. Basically only pitches the seventh inning of playoff games. Comes into a 4-3 game in the seventh with 2-1 and 2 out. Strikes out Kyle Schwarber. Fantastic. The eighth inning, he lets the game go away. He walks Bryce Harper, gives up a hit to Castellanos, and then eventually the big hit to Bryson Stott to blow the lead. Mets did rally in this game and end up losing in the bottom of the ninth inning anyway. Not his finest moment, but it was also not all bad. He did come into a two-out spot in the seventh and struck out Kyle Schwarber. NLCS, I shouldn't forget, NLDS game four, comes into the 4-1 lead, puts the first two guys on base, scares the crap out of us, and then gets Cody Clemens, Brandon Marsh, and Kyle Schwarber, and we go to the NLCS. Not bad. A little shaky, but not bad. NLCS, game number two. Up 6-0, he comes into the eighth inning with 2-1 and 2 out and gets Kiki Hernandez to fly out, puts a couple of guys on base, and then strikes out Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, and Freddie Freeman back-to-back-to-back. Mets hold on and win game two, 7-3. Gets four outs. Game five of the NLCS, comes in with an 11-6 lead, but gets the last six outs. Not screwing around here. Six outs. And then he comes in a game six down 6-3 and pitches a fourth and fifth inning scoreless to keep the game close. I am not even going to bother you with regular season stuff because what I just described, if you sat through it and didn't fast forward or say, I've had enough, is proof that Edwin Diaz, say what you want about him, going to the LA Dodgers, I get it, we're all upset, blah, 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 did a hell of a lot more in a big spot than Billy Wagner. I rest my case. I feel like my case has been rested in a nice way. All right, let's get to Rico number four here on the Rico 10, and that is the fact the Mets brought in another minor leaguer on a spring training invite, and that is Christian Pache was signed to a minor league contract a couple days ago. Christian Pache was once a pretty good prospect. He was once highly regarded by the Atlanta Braves, and it really never panned out. He's bounced around the league now with Atlanta, with Oakland, with Philadelphia, with Baltimore, with Miami. He's never hit. He's 27. He is the definition of outfield depth. So I would not be nervous about him. I think if Christian Pache is ever on this roster getting at-bats, we have a problem. But he's a defensive-first player who gets an invite to spring training, and the odds are high that he actually never sees the major league roster. Think of a Joey Meneses kind of addition. Joey obviously had more of a career than Pache at the major league level, but Meneses never got here. So I think that when you see the Mets adding guys like this, keep it in mind, yes, in a perfect world, they turn into Jose Iglesias, though obviously Iglesias had more of an MLB resume than Christian Pache. But the odds are this is more of a depth signing piece. So wanted to mention it, but one of the more minor subjects here in the Rico 10. The next thing is what our division has done. What our division has done, specifically the Philadelphia Phillies, who added Adolis Garcia, who remember was non-tendered by the Texas Rangers a couple of weeks ago, and what it means for Nick Castellanos. A couple of things about Adolis Garcia. We talked about him a little bit as a possibility for the Mets. His bat has really gone limp over the last couple of years, really since he had that epic 2023 where he had not only a great year, but an incredible postseason. He just hasn't hit. I mean, it's been 2 years. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, maybe that was just an anomaly in 2023. The plus of Garcia's is his defense. I think that's probably some of the appeal of why the Phillies brought him in, because he's going to play a lot of right field. And Nick Castellanos was clearly going to be gone, was a butcher defensively, to the point where Phillies were pulling him out for defense late, and Castellanos was almost offended by it. So how do I view this as a Met fan and as a division rival? I think it's probably a good little move. Like, maybe getting him in that ballpark, maybe getting him in that lineup, maybe giving him a new kind of change of scenery could not necessarily bring him back to the 40 home run player he was with Texas, but maybe better than the 665 OPS guy he was with Texas last year. I kind of expect that he'll be better. I think the combination of a new environment and that lineup and that stadium will certainly help him. But what I'm intrigued by is Nick Castellanos, because Nick Castellanos is still a useful ball player. He's 33 years old. He'll be 34 before the start of the season. He plays. I've made a big deal about this when I talk about Pete Alonso. The guy plays. I think the concern about him is that we are looking at now a three consecutive year decline. And really, he for four straight years has shown signs that he'll never be the guy he was in 2021, his contract year with Cincinnati. You know, he'll hit 20 home runs. He'll drive in a bunch of runs. He never walks, so the on base is never going to be very high. So he's a low OPS guy. If this was a different world, like, I'd be sort of intrigued by Nick Castellanos. And my reasoning for that would be the Mets don't have a DH, or at least they didn't have a DH. I mentioned this on a couple of Ricos ago about Jorge Polanco, and we'll talk more about him in a second, that I view him as a DH, that ideally I wouldn't want Polanco playing a lot of first base. If my vision is correct, then where does Castellanos play? Because I don't want him in the outfield, you know, especially a team that talks about run prevention. But I would look at Castellanos and say, you know what, can I get one more good year out of him? If I bring him to a new situation, kind of like talked about Adolis Garcia, put him in a new spot, new lineup, new team, could I get, you know, a 25 home run, 90 RBI year out of Castellanos? I wouldn't be stunned by it. But I think when you combine A, I view Polanco as the DH. B, I don't think the Mets and Phillies are going to do business. And C, the amount of money he's going to cost, I don't think it's a fit. But I am intrigued to see where Nick Castellanos ends up. It's clearly over for him in Philadelphia.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Coca-Cola. For the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers, risk takers. For the optimists, pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola. For everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
Next on the Rico 10 are the free agent targets the Mets still may be looking at, specifically Cody Bellinger, Kyle Tucker, and Michael King. Let me start with Kyle Tucker. I still don't see a world where the Mets are really linked to him. I've seen light linkings to Kyle Tucker. I've seen there was that weird situation with Robert Murray, where I guess in a chat, he mentioned that the Mets are a finalist for Kyle Tucker. I don't believe that. And I don't think Robert Murray's making it up. I just think it was probably worded wrong, to be honest with you. I think it's more, could the Mets check in on Kyle Tucker? Sure. I have a tough time seeing the year investments that they'd have to make in Tucker, that they would do that at this stage. Like, I get the sense that maybe they'll give a longish term deal, but I don't think it would be 9 or 10 years. The fact he's a left-handed bat, I don't know. I mean, I don't go crazy about that. Juan Soto can hit lefties. I don't get nuts about it. Like, if you can hit lefties, I'm not overly concerned by the amount of lefties in this lineup. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it all off-season long. So we'll keep an eye on him. I think the hope we have as Met fans is that he goes to Toronto and not to Los Angeles. But I don't know where else it would be. I mean, where is Kyle Tucker even linked? The next guy is Michael King. So I would like Michael King. When we did the starting pitching free agent targets on the Rico, the intrigue of King is that he's not expected to get a long-term deal. And that fits what David Stearns would want, but it also fits, I think, what we would all want. Like, I'm not in love with just handing out long-term contracts to starting pitchers who have questions about them. And Michael King's got questions. He missed time last year. I remember we beat him up on a weeknight. Remember in September, Mets took batting practice against Michael King. But there are questions about him. But on a 3 or 4 year deal, I feel like the risks are a lot less. Here's, and this is just me doing the mental, I'm going to play along with David Stearns here. Are the Mets going to give the draft pick away that they'd have to give to sign Michael King on a three-year deal. And I bring that up because I remember that one time I talked to David Stearns intently. We were talking about Jordan Montgomery. I think I could talk about this now. It's years later. And I, you know, was pushing the idea of Jordan Montgomery, and one of the points he made is, he wasn't saying no, he was saying you have to weigh in giving up a draft pick for someone on a short-term deal. You'd almost rather, if you're giving up the draft pick, to have the guy on a long-term deal because, okay, I'm giving up the draft pick for a guy who's going to be around for a while. So I almost wonder if Michael King on a three-year deal, even though that feels appealing to the Mets and the way they normally operate, would it be appealing if you're giving up a draft pick attached to it? So I like Michael King. If you tell me, Ev, you're going to be wrong, they're going to sign Michael King to a, you know, three-year, $65 million contract, let's go. I think that would be great for this rotation. Because let's keep in mind, with everything that's gone on during this offseason, they have not added to their rotation. They've lost in their lineup. They have rearranged their bullpen, clearly, by losing Diaz and signing Weaver and Devin. The rotation's the same. So I'd like it. I'm skeptical of it. And let me get to Bellinger. I'm going to be real with everybody, okay? I am very conflicted about Cody Bellinger. On one side, he's perfect. He can play left field. He can play center field. He's not that old. He's proven he can play in New York. He can hit lefties. He doesn't strike out a lot. He can play first base. What's the problem? I totally get it. Like, if you told me tomorrow, without knowing the contract, just the Mets added Cody Bellinger, the New York Mets are a better team. And I like the versatility and the wiggle room that it gives David Stearns to continue to build this roster. So I'm not against signing Cody Bellinger. My confliction is the contract, that I am going to have a very difficult time as a Met fan accepting Cody Bellinger signing a similar contract to the one they wouldn't offer Pete Alonso. And I guess I'll fight with people, and I'll tell you what I know you're going to say, which is, but Evan, he's a better all-around player. But Evan, he's more athletic. But I get that. I know what Cody does better than Pete Alonso. He is a better defender. I'm not going to argue that. He's a better athlete. I'm not going to argue that. What I would argue is that Pete Alonso is better. He's a better slugger. He's a more feared hitter. I think his protection for Soto is more daunting. He's also more reliable. Cody Bellinger's resume is unreliable. We're not that far removed from a guy that really struggled offensively to the part where the Dodgers couldn't play him. Now you're comfortable giving that guy a five-year contract? They're also the same age. So age is the same, and Bellinger has more of an injury history than Pete. So I'm conflicted because I'm telling you right now, they signed Cody Bellinger to a five-year contract or a six-year contract. My first reaction is going to be, I'm pissed. Like, you're freaking serious? You wouldn't make an offer to the greatest slugger in the history of the Met franchise, but you can't wait to get 5 or 6 years to a guy who, A, I don't think is as good as a hitter. Obviously, all around is different. And B, has more of an injury history. I have more reason to believe Bellinger will break down than Alonso. What are you basing it on? Fat shaming? Like, I'm serious. And Pete's not even fat, so it's not the right term. You're body shaming. Like, that's literally what anyone would do. You're looking at a man's body and saying, I think he's going to break down more than that guy. You know what I'm looking at? The history. I'm looking at what Pete has done in his career and what Cody's done in their career. Cody has missed time. Pete hasn't. I'm sorry. I win. Now, I don't know if I win over the next 5 years. I'm saying I feel like my way of viewing it is fairer than viewing it as just a man's body. So that's my confliction. Like, yes, Cody Bellinger would be a good fit for the New York Mets. Cody Bellinger would make the Met lineup better. Cody Bellinger would make the Met defense better. I'd like Cody Bellinger on the New York Mets. I just know I'm going to have a tough time with that contract if it's as big as it is, and it's going to have to be. Like, the Mets are not signing Cody Bellinger to a three-year contract. You don't think the Yankees are offering more than that? There's no way. So, by the way, Pete, do you agree with that? Because I think you're on my page like, yeah, we'd like Cody Bellinger, but would the contract bother you when you see what it looks like compared to what they wouldn't offer, Pete?
Yeah, and again, like, because you just said something that I think people are missing out on. who's to predict what's going to happen in the next 5 years, how this the body's going to break down. But one thing that is something that we – there's proof out there. Pete Alonso, you could say he struggled, but he's never hit less than 34 home runs minus the COVID season. He's always driven in a bunch of RBIs. There was a time and place where Cody Bellinger got designated for assignment by – or non-tendered, excuse me – by the Dodgers because he couldn't produce the way he was going to get paid. That was a real thing. Yes, he was MVP. Yes, he was a rookie of the year. All that's good. But that was a factual thing. He could break down at any point in time.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
That said, you would like the news to break that the Mets have signed Cody Bellinger, correct?
Yeah, but not for the same, not for 5 years, 125.
Here's the thing about contracts. We give opinions on it when they're signed. After that, it's about how you play. Like, it really does. I think about that. I'll use the Yankee example. Max Fried signed a contract that at the time was like, what? You giving a starting pitcher in his 30s an 8-year deal? And, okay, we all have an opinion. Hey, that contract's crazy. Okay, then he starts pitching. And then it's just about how you perform. So I think in the case of Bellinger, and I'm pretty much calling my shot on how I would react to this, I think I'd be annoyed, and then eventually it would just become, he's a baseball player on the Mets, will he produce? And does he make the team better? And the answer is yeah. Like, he would make the Mets better, but I want every Met fan to prepare themselves for one of two things. Either they're not signing Cody Bellinger, which I know would disappoint people, or if they do, I cannot see how it's not for as many years or more than what Pete got. Because I don't see with the market he has and the Yankees' interest how Cody Bellinger is signing with the Mets for 4 years or less. I'd be very, very surprised by that. So be prepared that either he's not a Met or he's a Met for the same or more years than Pete Alonso.
And what would you prefer at the end of the day? You want him to be a Met?
I'm conflicted because, yeah, when I look... Yes, he's a good fit for the team. He's just... I know. This is where I'm... Look, at least I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you about my confliction. Let's get to the seventh Met-related story here on the Rico 10. The legendary Mike Francesa, on his podcast, started repeating what he had heard about the Met locker room issues. What he said about Juan Soto and Lindor, again, I feel like there's nothing here with Soto and Lindor. They got off to a bad start, according to Mike, because Lindor didn't welcome him to the New York Mets. And as the season went on, it was fine. And by the way, I've heard the same thing in terms of, yes, at first it was icy, but it's all good now. Juan Soto even spoke publicly a few days ago, was asked about his relationship with Lindor, and at least publicly said, it's all good. I tend to believe it. I don't think there's a deeper issue here. I think that it's going to be overblown because the Mets have made so many changes and because they're huge names. But I think it's probably, likelier than not, two people that are very different that don't have any kind of rivalry. The interesting one was the Nimmo versus Lindor situation, in which we have always assumed that if there was any kind of heat, it was over a little jealousy on Nimmo thinking, hey, I'm a captain too. And we had brought that up in spring training when we talked about Lindor as a captain. There was one quote from Nimmo about, hey, you know, we're all captains, I'm a captain. And it came across a little like, hey, I'm a captain too. Which is similar in Met history to the Keith Hernandez-Gary Carter thing, where Keith was the captain and Gary's like, I'm the captain too. And there was a little bit of a rivalry between Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter. According to Mike Francesa, Lindor and Nimmo's issues were the same issues that many families have, and that is they disagreed on Trump. That's according to Mike Francesa. Now, I don't think that's surprising, because I think Francisco's wife has been very outspoken on social media about her disagreements with President Trump. And I think Brandon Nimmo, if you're just stereotyping as a deeply religious man, I guess the stereotype would say, oh, he's a Trump guy. So I don't think that that surprises anybody. I would also say this really can't be a big deal. We live in a world right now in which, I said this on the air the other day, I used to love talking about politics. I would do it with all my friends. I would do it with family members. And I tended to have politics that differed than them. I'm very all over the place. So if anyone's like, well, what's your politics? Just tell me. I'm a crazy libertarian. So there are a lot of times in which I've been in agreements with the Republicans, sometimes the Democrats. Right now, I hate everybody, if we're being fair. So that's my politics, if you care. But I have chosen, I just can't talk about it with anybody. Everybody is sensitive. I just don't want to do it anymore. Like, everyone gets defensive. It's just, I have chosen to choose not to be part of it anymore. I talk about politics like with my dad. Like, my dad and my mom are the only people, because I think there's like that comfort zone of, even when we disagree, it's actually all good. But even with Hoff, like, I love Hoff. I don't know a damn thing about his politics. I have decided it is best to just not do it. I think, like Hoff, we'd actually be good, because I am comfortable with the people who can, like, look in my eye and say, bro, there's nothing you can say that will offend me, vice versa. We're not going to be sensitive about it. And then, yes, I'm good to go. I actually talk politics with Tiki. That's another guy I talk with, and it's good. I would advise every locker room to just not talk politics. So I kind of believe Mike's story, but I also think that it is healthy in a 26-man locker room with guys coming from such diverse backgrounds. It is not a good idea to break down politics or Trump himself. It's not a good idea. So is it true? Probably. Is it why they traded Nimmo? Probably not. Was it causing like major issues? Probably not. But I certainly believe that, yes, that was probably a sticking point, because quite frankly, it's a sticking point in a lot of households across the country. So why would a Major League Baseball locker room be any different?
Listen, all I could say is that about 15, 20 years ago, I remember there was it was Christmas, and I had both sides of my family at a wonderful Christmas Eve, and it was beautiful, and everyone was getting along, and all of a sudden politics came up, and people were like, I got called up from the basement when I was playing video games with my cousin, being like, come upstairs, they're having a fight. So, yeah, you don't talk politics with anybody. But that being said, here's the thing is, like, what's disappointing to me is that, like, what's the betterment for the team? Like, I think that they were able to carry – I mean, if there was a fractured locker room because of the politics, that sucks because at the end of the day, those guys together playing well, they could do something really special. And who cares about politics? But, politics aside.
But, I'll tell you why, Hoff, I can't imagine it really was a big deal. Go to every baseball team's locker room. You're telling me they're not split about Trump himself or politics in general? Like, that's every locker room in every sport. And look, maybe some locker rooms do a good job of really not talking about it, but that's not unique to the Mets. And I think what's going on with the Mets right now is because their locker room is so being examined, we're getting stories like this. But look, the New York Yankees actually had the president in their locker room on September 11th, as you recall. I am sure there was a Yankee or two who was like, I don't like this. Like, I'm sure of it. Did it become a big story? No. Was it a controversy? No. Is it why the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays? No. So I think what's happening is that everything's being examined. So it doesn't mean it isn't true. Because I believe Mike's always been locked in on this stuff. I always trust him on that. It's that, is it really a big deal and was it ever a big deal? I am still convinced Nimmo was traded because of his contract, because of his age, and because of David Stern's trying to remake this team.
Right, and because they wanted to sign somebody else for the same amount of money for three less years. I think, by the way, I think I do remember the one person that was not in a picture with Trump at Yankee Stadium, and I believe it's because he also wasn't when he went to the World Series, when they won the World Series. I believe Cody Bellinger was that guy who was not in this.
See, what are you doing right now? Are you
I'm just saying.
How everyone's politics.
I'm just saying. Listen. Everything aside, it doesn't make a difference. But the one thing, listen, everybody has social issues too. Like, remember the Rays when the bullpen didn't want to wear a certain hat?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is what it is. Calm down, guys.
Yeah, look, it sucks, man. I remember 2004, 2005, 2006, me and my friends would fight all the time about politics, and we were all on different sides. And it was great. Like, we'd then have a beer and everything would be fine. It doesn't feel that way anymore. I just have to be honest. So it's one of the passions I used to have that I mostly keep to myself, other than, you know, my mom, dad, and Tiki Barber. Those are the three people. All right, let's get to number 8 on the Rico 10, and that is the Jorge Polanco signing is official, which was a 2-year, $20 million deal. And the big question after they signed him was, okay, what is his role? You know, and I think we all made assumptions, and there was reports of he's going to play some first base, he's going to do this. David Stearns' quote today was, as we stand now, we would anticipate Jorge playing first base, DH, and bouncing around to other positions as needed. First of all, that is the right answer, because as of now is the most important quote. The offseason is not over. And as of now, they have a lot of holes they need to fill. Dude, as of now, Mark Vientos may be the cleanup hitter. I mean, as of now, Tyrone Taylor's an everyday player. So there's a lot of as of nows that will change. What I am telling you is I hope eventually Jorge Polanco is the DH, who is capable of filling in for Semien at second and Beatty at third and whoever the first baseman is. I would like them to acquire a real first baseman. I think I mentioned it earlier in this podcast. Like, I very quickly named a hypothetical, and I said Christian Walker. Christian Walker, with 2 years remaining on his deal, making $20 million a year, sort of makes sense. Like, if they can send back a bad contract, because Walker's coming off a really bad season, if they can send back a contract that maybe offsets the money a little bit, say Jeff McNeil, maybe Kodai Senga, who certainly has more value, I think Christian Walker is really interesting because he gives you power. He plays good defense. I'm going to assume, I got to almost look at his, I'll do it real quick. I'll look at what his
Stats said defensively, I know that in 2024 he was a Gold Glover. He won three straight Gold Gloves. So I got to see if he regressed a little bit defensively. But Christian Walker in a down year hit 27 home runs. The year before that, missing 30 games, hit 26 home runs. The year before that, hit 33 home runs. The year before that, hit 36 home runs. So even at this older age, he is 35 years old the day after opening day, Christian Walker feels like a somewhat reliable slugger, and he's a right-handed bat, and his defense has mostly been good. So I'd rather add a player like that, just to be honest with you. Let me see where the baseball savant ranked him at first base last year. Again, he won three straight Gold Gloves before signing with the Houston Astros. Christian Walker, he was ranked 10th at first base defensively and outs above average at 2. He was tied with Andrew Vaughn and Josh Naylor, so solid. Solid defense. He wasn't Ty France or Matt Olson or Carlos Santana or Wilson Contreras, but pretty good. So just a name to throw out there as someone that makes sense. Ryan O'Hearn is another guy that makes sense, who has really good defensive metrics at first base last year. I would like a real first baseman. That's my point. Like, I do not like the idea of going into the start of the season with Jorge Polanco platooning with someone at first base. Let's get to topic number 9, and that is the hypothetical Mets-Padres trade that's been rumored about for a few days, and if the signing of Luke Weaver affects that. We bring that up because the reports from Ken Rosenthal and a few others was that names like Adrian Marjan, left-handed reliever, Mason Miller, Jeremiah Estrada were all brought up in these trades, along with Nick Pivetta and Ramon Laureano. I do not think that this trade gets affected at all by signing Luke Weaver. You never have enough bullpen arms. And what I said much earlier in the Rico about money, yeah, they're not going to spend big money on a free agent reliever. Mason Miller doesn't make big money. Adrian Marjan in a contract year doesn't make huge money. Same thing with Estrada. So I think adding one of those relievers does not hurt. I don't think the Mets are like, oh, no, we can't add any more. They still have an interest in adding to the rotation with Nick Pivetta. And obviously, Mason Miller would be the big prize. Because all of a sudden, if they pulled this trade off, and it would hurt because I think big prospects are going to have to be involved, not just Jonah Tong. I floated out the idea of just Tong and Miller straight up. Probably not going to be it. It would probably have to be more, and then there's more coming back. So this may be a trade that stings. We're talking Jet Williams. I hate to talk Jet Williams, but we may be talking Jet Williams. If they got Mason Miller back in a trade, and all of a sudden they went into the start of next year with a bullpen of Devin Williams, Mason Miller, Luke Weaver, A.J. Minter, Brooks Raley, I think we'd be feeling pretty good. Like, that back end of the bullpen would be outstanding. So I don't think it affects those rumors at all, and I still kind of think eventually a Met-Padre trade goes down. It's just a matter of what. It could simply just be Nick Pivetta. It could be simply just Ramon Laureano, or it could be a bigger, broader deal. So we'll see how it goes down, but I do think we will see some kind of big trade in the near future from David Stearns. And if you missed it, we did a Rico Brogna examining all of David Stearns' trades as Met General Manager. And finally, the last topic is a great question from Philip in the Rico Mailbag. And we will do an extensive Rico Mailbag episode coming up in just a few days. But this question was unique, it was special, and I want to bring it up as our final topic here in episode 605, which is, would you rate Pete Alonso as the most popular Met of all time who didn't play in the World Series as a Met? Huh. Now, keep in mind, because when he asked this question, I'm like, I got to think about it. Like, what Mets haven't been in a World Series? Most of our, like, favorite Mets have played in World Series because we have this history where we have patches of success. So if you're an older Met fan, the 69 and 73 team, a lot of your favorite players like Tom Seaver or Bud Harrelson or Tug McGraw were a part of World Series teams. If you grew up in the 80s, the 86 Mets obviously encompasses a lot of people. If you are a late 90s Met fan, they made it in 2000. And then obviously 2015 for the more recent Met fan. I will tell you a couple of guys that jump out at me in terms of never playing in World Series. Because, look, David Wright played in a World Series. Mike Piazza played in a World Series. Edgardo Alfonso played in a World Series. Just naming a few really popular Mets in their history. They all played in World Series. Rico Bronya. I mean, the podcast is the Rico. Never played in a World Series. Todd Hundley was incredibly popular. Never played in a World Series. Carlos Beltran, who will be inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame. I think Met fans have grown to really like Carlos Beltran. Never played in a World Series. Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes was not a part of the 15 team. Never played in a World Series. I'm trying to think of some more. Obviously, DeGrom played in a World Series. Edwin Diaz did not play in a World Series, so I guess we can go with the more recent guys, obviously, like Brandon Nimmo. Am I missing? I mean, I'm sure I'm missing people. Dave Kingman, for some of the older Met fans, did not play in a World Series. Kevin McReynolds, they hated him, never played in a World Series. Bobby Bonilla, never played in a World Series. Ray Ordonez never played in a World Series. He was on the team but did not play because he was hurt. So those are just a few that jump out at me. Anyone else that jumps out at you?
I mean, I don't know if he was a – I don't know if he's a – he was such a shorter career with the Mets, but Johan Santana, like if you look at the pitching staff and stuff like that, you know.
Johan Santana, Pedro Martinez, I got a good one. It was short, but Met fans loved him, and we were annoyed, not at him, but just at the situation when he left as a free agent. John Olerud.
Yeah.
John Olerud left before 2000, so was not on that team. Yeah, I think based on that list, what I would ask Met fans out there is Jose Reyes is probably the guy that like jumps out at me as the perfect comp now for Pete Alonso. Not as players, obviously. They're very different players. But in that they left as free agents. And they left mostly because ownership was just not serious about keeping them. Obviously, in the Reyes case, it was a Wilpon situation. He went to Miami. Jose then bounced around the league. He had the huge domestic violence thing, which cannot be ignored. But he's loved. I mean, Met fans really like Jose Reyes. And luckily, he had the return where he was able to, I guess, finish his story as a New York Met in 2016 and then 2017. So I think Reyes is probably the most comparable to Pete Alonso in this regard. And I'd say Pete's more popular. I do. He doesn't have the baggage, obviously, with the off-the-field stuff. And I think with Reyes, the bunt and leave left some people with a bad taste in their mouth. I did not, but I don't want to relitigate this right now. That's a whole nother Rico we could do, relitigating old Met issues. But I would say Pete Alonso is the answer to the question, Philip, as the most popular Met of all time who did not play in a World Series.
And I would have to agree that Jose Reyes is the guy that is up there for number two because – you know, the image that I remember with Jose Reyes is him and David Wright with cigars celebrating after they clinch a playoff. And you're just like, oh, my God, this is going to be amazing for a very, very long time. And Jose Reyes, they basically constructed Citi Field to fit towards him. I mean, you talk about the one player that they were going to like, hey, let's make this field work for Jose Reyes, not David Wright, not anybody else, Jose Reyes. And then he left, and that hurt a lot, that they never really made like a nice big offer for him. But that was the guy. He was up there with David Wright. I know David Wright left, but David Wright was in the playoffs. I mean, was in the World Series.
Yes.
Jose Reyes is not.
That's yes, David got it. He is the answer. We have a lot of guys who got there. Like, that's the thing about the patches of our history. So we've been there enough where a lot of the most popular Mets are at least able to get there. If we missed anybody, obviously email us, thericob@gmail.com. A lot more Ricos coming up as we head towards Christmas. We have some special holiday Ricos, including counting down the best wins of the 2025 season. We have a Rico in which, unfortunately, we count down the worst losses of the 2025 season and also take a look for our Brandon Nimmo tribute and a guide to a last-second Christmas gift. So a lot of holiday Ricos coming up. Also, whenever there's breaking news, Hoff and I will certainly do our best to make sure we are live and Ricoing with you. So we're around throughout this holiday season. We appreciate you listening and downloading another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.